failed to get on the announcement sheet this morning that next week I will start another discovery class. We'll meet in the cry room, and the purpose of that is a 3-week class that will start at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, and the purpose is to talk about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a Methodist, what it means to be a member of this church, and what we're all about, and try to answer a lot of questions and get to know one another better. So anyone that would like to come and be a part of that is welcome. Hope that you will do that, especially if you're new to our church. That starts next week at 9 o'clock. If you would turn with me to Isaiah 49, Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, beginning in verse 13. Shout for joy, O heavens, rejoice, O earth, burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, the Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority and transform us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Love that verse. One of our church logos is actually one that's been around for a while. You may, if you're new, you may or may not have seen that. It was the hands around our church building. Have you seen that logo? And that's the passage of Scripture that inspired that God will not forget us. He has engraved us on the palms of his hands. He has us in his grip. Today's sermon is called Memories. I thought it was appropriate, being Senior Sunday, as these seniors, these graduates were lined up here. I want to ask the parents of those graduates, were a lot of memories flooding through your mind? You know, I saw some tears. That's awesome. But it's those memories of what has come before and what lies ahead that brings those tears to us. As I was preparing for this day, I began to reflect on my own childhood, and I'm not gonna bore you with many, many stories of that, but I just a few quick things that came to my mind. I remember my grandmother, on my mother's side, we called her Granny, and she was I was very close to Granny. And I remember the silver Christmas tree. Anybody remember the silver Christmas tree? And it had the rainbow circular light that turned on the Christmas tree. I think Carlene still has one of those, doesn't she? She's old school, man. I'm liking that. And I remember leftovers in the freezer that Granny would keep in the freezer, and I would go and spend some time with her in the summer, and I mean, I was a teenage boy and could eat the side of a cow, you know, and she just kept bringing out these little butter dishes that had a few little grains of corn in it and stuff, and I kept saying, Granny, I'm still hungry, and she'd keep bringing things out of the freezer, and she'd have this little wax paper with about 19,000 rubber bands around it, and she'd pull it out of the freezer, and she'd start pulling rubber bands off, and it'd be like two little cookies. And I mean, you know, I'm going, Granny, I'm hungry. And I remember playing catch with my brother. I remember wrestling on the bed with my brother and getting in trouble for wrestling on the bed with my brother because we'd break the bed down. And I remember one time we were wrestling, and Mom and Dad, we were teenagers, both of us, and we were wrestling on the bed, and Mom and Dad were at some kind of company function, a party or something, and the phone rang, and we were like, okay, cool. And when I think Jay answered the phone. Hello? And Dad said, don't forget to lock this door or whatever. And he said, and then he hung up. And Jay, we went back to wrestling. And the phone rang again. And he said, and stop wrestling on the bed. I remember forming a love for sports for my mom and dad to this day, just playing catch with my dad. Jay and I'd be out and he'd be throwing us footballs and we'd be going out for passes, and before you know it, every kid in the neighborhood was going out for passes. And I remember just that love for sports and love for family, how family was important, still is important. I remember that I learned a love for serving people, watching my mom and dad serve other people, mowing elderly people's yards and doing those sort of things for people. And I remember inheriting and being taught a love for Christ, being introduced to Christ himself. And then as I became an adult, I have memories with my family, the family walks. When the girls were little and we would go for a walk, Jordan was always the active one. She would have the inline skates and hitch up the dog, and the dog would be pulling her. And Kirby was the one with the fanny pack. If anything happened, she had it covered. Yes, she had a fanny pack. It's like when Jordan skinned her knee, you know, instead of going back to the house to get antiseptic and a Band-Aid, Kirby would go, just a minute. And she had it right there. Remember the fanny packs. Remember teaching the girls how to swim and how to jump off the diving board. I remember camping and losing Jordan. Now, she got in a lot of trouble. I don't know what that was all about. I remember playing games, and even to this day when our girls come back to the house and it's a special occasion or just hanging out or whatever, they want to play games. God says that remembering is important. Why is that? God himself says that remembering is important. He says, I will not forget you. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. I want you to just think about God. I mean, I know we it's hard to think about God this way, but I want you to just think about God holding out his hands and your name is written right there. He will not forget you. The word remember, or a form of remembering, things like that, is referenced 230 times in the Bible. And it's always in reference to God remembering us or him requesting us to remember him. So I want us to kind of look at some of that, why that's significant. God has remembered you. Do you believe that, church? God remembers you. Your name is written on his hands. We see that in the rainbow, where Genesis 9:16, whenever the rainbow appears in the sky, I will see it, God says, and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So even the rainbow in the sky reminds us that God remembers us. God made a covenant with Abraham. God heard their groaning, the people of Israel, as they were in bondage, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. God doesn't forget. When God says something, he follows through. We have God remembering that he had given us freedom from the bondage of slavery. Remember, in Deuteronomy 5, it says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. God remembers. The passage across the Red Sea, when God delivered them from captivity and when the Egyptian army came in to change their mind and decided, no, I don't think I want to let your people go. And they came and they began to pursue them. God opened the Red Sea because he had promised to deliver them from the slavery and captivity. There's a great passage where God gives us victory over our enemies. In Exodus 17, Joshua is fighting the Amalekites. And Moses is standing up on a hill, and he has his staff in his hand, and as he raises the staff over the army, they are defeating the Amalekites. As Moses tires and the staff goes down, they begin to lose when God's hand is not on them. And I love this. Aaron and Hur, two of Moses' top officials, they brought a stone and they set it under Moses, and he sat upon the stone and they held the staff up. Don't you love that? God remembered his people and gave them victory over their enemies. What about this one? Jesus remembers us on the cross. The passage, and I've talked about it before, but out of Hebrews chapter 12, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. And we've talked about that passage. It's not this idea. The joy set before Christ was not heaven. He had been in heaven. And it said that he had become flesh and dwelt among us. So the joy set before him was not something that he had already given up for our sake. The joy set before him was you and I in our redemption. Don't you love that? It says that what that is telling us is that as Jesus was hanging on the cross, we were on his mind. You were on his mind. He remembered you. You know, as I was kind of reminded as I was thinking about my memories and about surely all of these graduates' families and their memories today, I was thinking that not always are our memories positive. Not always does not everyone had a loving mom and dad like I did, like I do. And I understand that. But I want you to understand what God is calling us to do is to remember him. Remember him. Because every single one of us has a loving heavenly Father. And when our thoughts begin, see what the enemy would have us to do is to think about all of the brokenness in our life. Would go through life being a victim instead of a victor. God would have us to be a victor and to take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ, to remember Christ. Paul says it so well in Philippians 4. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What we found the nation of Israel doing, I'm moving on to the next point there, is that God has remembered us, and he asks us to remember him. I want to tell, before I move into that story, I want to tell you Joshua 4. This you may have read this before, but as the nation of Israel is preparing to move into the promised land, and then the promised land is called promised land because God promised it. It's kind of funny name for something like that. But he promised the promised land. And so they come to the river of Jordan, and it's flowing, it's high on the banks, and it's flowing, and they can't cross. And God tells Joshua, he says, have the priests go and take the Ark of the Covenant, which again is the promises of God, the law of God, and it says, have the priests and have them walk out into the water with the Ark of the Covenant, and when they walk out, I will stop the flow of the river. And so they did. They took the Ark of the Covenant out, and then it says that the people of Israel crossed, and where they crossed, they took stones, and they stood these stones up at this place where they had crossed. Why do you think they did that? To remember what God had done for them. And guess what? You and I are God's standing stones. Don't you love that? You and I are God's standing stones. And what they told the people of Israel, they said the fathers would tell their children when they would ask, what are those stones? why are those stones stacked there? And they would tell the story of God's faithfulness and God's love for them. And so I want to tell you that as they would look at those stones and they would see and be reminded of the faithfulness of God in their lives, when people look at us, they should see God's faithfulness. We are God's standing stones. What has He done for you? I want you to just for a second, I'll just take a minute and just think. What has He done for you? Has He been faithful to you? I mean, Jesus said that you're going to have trouble in this world, as Jordan mentioned earlier, that this world is tough. But God is faithful. And this family who's lost this daughter, I can't imagine a tougher thing. But God is faithful, and He will be faithful to that family. It says that He draws near to the brokenhearted. We are God's standing stones. He has remembered us, and He's asked us to remember Him.
The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me."
Remember.
I know a little a young girl. I won't get into all the specifics, but this little girl had an experience. She and you can believe this or not believe this. I believe it. She saw Christ. She had an experience, an encounter with the living Christ. And it's a long story, and I can tell you about it sometime, but I believed this little girl so much, there was no reason for her to make that up, and this was not the type of child to do that. And I remember saying, what did he look like? What did Jesus look like? I was so excited to hear that. What did he look like? And she began to describe him in detail, and it was not a whole lot unlike what we have in mind. She said he had longer hair and had a white robe, and his robe was trimmed in purple, had purple trim on the sleeves. And she said, and he had scars in his hands and on his feet. I will not forget you. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Christ our Lord invites us to this table where we have not been forgotten. And what Jesus said when we partake of this, he said, remember me. When you do this, remember me. I invite you, if you would, just to bow your heads and say a few minutes, have a moment to say a private prayer of confession as we take this meal. We come as a forgiven people. Confess your sins before a holy God. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. If our servers and our praise team and sound team would come forward, please. Christ our Lord has given us the invitation to his table. You do not have to be a member of this church. You do not have to be a member of any church. You should have confessed your sins before God and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Come to this table in repentance and you are welcome. We have four stations, these two and these two on the ends, that you will be given a piece of bread and you can dip the bread into the juice and partake. The center section has the individual cups and the bread. If you would like to be served in that manner, come to the center. Come.
God can wash away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
engraved you on the palm of his hands. He has remembered you. Go and remember him and tell someone in Jesus' name. We're dismissed.
What can wash away?